I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode is made possible by the support we get from Fort Collins Kia. If you are in the market for any electric Kia, not only do they never add market adjustments, they will deliver your car to you anywhere in the 48 contiguous states for out-of-spec viewers. More information in the link in the show notes. Hello and welcome back to the Out of Spec podcast, our electric corner of the internet. I am your host, Francie. Thank you for plugging in with me today. On today's episode, we are once again lucky enough to be joined by longtime listener, second-time caller, and EV enthusiast, Brian G. Welcome back, Brian.
Thanks for having me, Francie. I've been a huge fan of the work that you and the team are doing with the podcast, so it's great to see you guys growing, and I'm excited to be back.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Yeah, folks really loved your episode from a few months ago where you spoke to not only your EV lifestyle and your EV lineup, but also your impressions of and experience with Fisker and your Fisker Ocean One, which you are calling in from today, right?
I am. I'm sitting in the cockpit of what we call Mystique.
Mystique.
Our 2023 Fisker Ocean One. And I'm excited to be in this car. Candidly speaking, I just got back here to Maryland on Tuesday night. After being gone for a little over a week, where I didn't get a chance to drive it. So yesterday was my first time driving it. And weirdly enough, I come out after work to the garage to get in the car and go for a drive. And I get a notice on the screen here indicating I've got a software update. Ooh. So the infamous version 2.0 software was pushed to my car yesterday, so I delayed that trip to the driving range, and I installed part one, and it took a little under a half hour, and okay. After that, I took the opportunity to get out and drive it, and so this okay. is my second day living with the first part of version two of the software.
Okay. Off the bat, any big differences you're seeing with this? This is your first software update with the EV, right?
Yeah, it is. And for me, I'm not yet seeing a ton of difference. We finally do have solar sky statistics. So the okay. solar panels on the roof mm-hmm. are finally report. Well, we can finally see the power generation from that. both in terms of real time, what's happening in real time, as well as a historical view of what it's produced since we've had the vehicle. So love it's been that. Kind of cool to see that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I would encourage if anyone's listening, at least come back later and check out the video on YouTube so that you can see what Brian is sitting in and really get the inside feel of what it's like to be inside the car with him, because you can see the solar panels on the roof. It looks pretty cool. So that's a part of the update. And we'll dive into a ton of details of what you've been experiencing. But of course, I think if anyone has, you know, been reading any kind of headlines or any kind of social media website where electric vehicle news is coming into your feed, you've probably seen some heavy headlines about Fisker. And before we get to present day, I think we should do our best to kind of remind you the history, listeners, of Fisker. So to reiterate this background, the company, the automaker, was founded in 2016 by Henrik Fisker, and they're an American electric vehicle company. Fisker, the founder, has an interesting background that we won't go too deep into again, but he has history in designing EV or cars. So he gained a lot of recognition for his work at BMW. He joined Aston Martin as its design director and eventually co-founded Fisker Automotive in 2007. And they aim to make these high-performance luxury plug-in hybrid electric vehicles. But that did come to a halt in 2013 with bankruptcy. I hope we're not seeing deja vu, right? But that didn't stop him. He went on to found Fisker Inc., like I said, back in 2016. And that is where we find ourselves today. And again, before we get into some of the headlines, just generally, because we'll talk about that, but you are an owner. So can you, you went into great detail of this in the last podcast, which I will put in the show notes that everyone should go listen to if they haven't, of, you know, what your experience was and ordering, getting the car delivered, how you had, you know, at home service when it happened and kind of your experience there. But since that time, when you first got the Fisker and gave us that update, how has your journey been as an owner of a Fisker Ocean One since then? What has happened?
Wow. It's been a little bit of a roller coaster, if I'm being brutally honest. When I came onto the podcast, we had only had it for a couple of months. And so we were still getting to know the car. The software, we had at the time, I think, received two or three updates, but they were incremental changes to really set the foundation for the software-defined stack within this vehicle. Since that time, obviously, I've lived with the vehicle more. I've been driving it more. And the more time I spend in this car, the more I enjoy it. It is fun to drive. I'm a big guy. I'm 6'6", 240-ish pounds.
Oh my gosh, right? You're very tall.
So I think I would be looking eye to eye, if not looking down on out of spec Dave, right? So I am so comfortable in this vehicle, right? Mm-hmm. It is fun to drive, as I said. I really haven't had much in the way of mechanical or even software glitches as of late. Anytime I did have something that was software related, I could do a soft reset with, you know, two thumbs on the inner buttons on the wheel, and, you know, it would resolve the issue, or the next time I drive it, that issue wouldn't show up. But there's okay. been very few circumstances where that was an issue. The vehicle, as you might recall, was delivered to me with non-functioning front vents. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that happened since the last time I was on the podcast, and I'm going to try and stabilize this so it's not moving. I got a call from my service tech, and he told me that the replacement parts were in, and he made an appointment to come to my house, pick up the vehicle at 8:30 in the morning, take it to our local service center in Owings Mills, Maryland, and the vehicle was back in my driveway by 3:30 that afternoon. Vents replaced. There was a damaged driver's side B-pillar panel. That, mm-hmm. too, was replaced since the last time I was on the podcast. That was done in my garage by one of the service techs while I was at home working. So the service, the support experience, living with the vehicle has been terrific. So no complaints as it relates to the ownership experience.
Wow, that's great. Okay, because, you know, I have the company lease with the VinFast Via Fate, which some people kind of start to compare them because it's a startup automaker. It's known for its glitches for some reason, but Fisker's going through something quite different than VinFast seems to be going through at this point in time. So you've had a relatively good experience. Of course, as a startup company, I think it's important to realize that like Tesla was a startup, Rivian is still a startup, like VinFast, Lucid. The nature of startups is that every owner who buys one is taking a risk of some sort, right? Just like everyone who bought a Tesla before like 2020 was taking a risk, and it's exciting and it's different. And there you had your motivations for adopting a Fisker Ocean into your lifestyle. And we need early adopters, and there's always going to be issues. And we've seen that software updates will come along and fix them. So it is a bit interesting that Fisker seems to be having a really hard time. So does your experience owning it make sense with the headlines that you're seeing about, you know, rumors of bankruptcy, that they have been delisted by the New York Stock Exchange? They did get a huge investment recently of another $1 billion, right? But how are you feeling as an owner? Does it line up with what you've experienced?
So one of my superpowers, Francie, is the ability to compartmentalize things.
Great.
And I say that to say that the annals of history is littered with great products that have met an untimely demise, because great products are one thing. You need great companies and great leadership in order for them to flourish and grow and have a long lifespan, right? So while I sit here and I tell you how much I love this vehicle, and I'm not alone in that. There are tons of owners out there still today that are very, very happy with their decision to buy this vehicle. The other side of it is, it would appear, as we sit here today, that the company has been essentially run aground, right? There's a very strong likelihood that we're going to see some form of bankruptcy. Hopefully it's in the form of a Chapter 11, where they can restructure and have an opportunity to reinvent itself. There's still a very small possibility that even within bankruptcy, an OEM or another investor can come in and purchase the assets. And remind me to come back to assets, right? Because this is an asset light company, right? That's one of their tenets, and the vision for the company is to be asset light, which was one of the things that attracted me to it. I thought that that business model is one that was novel and that could work. But when you're in the predicament that you're in today, being asset light almost becomes a double-edged sword, in that for an investor, we're looking to invest in assets that can grow, right, and appreciate. And if you're asset light, then what am I investing in? What am I buying, right? And so there's a lot of questions out there right now in terms of what are the assets associated with Fisker. in essence, where does Fisker end and where does Magna begin? Mm. Right. So that's kind of the reality of the situation, right? It would seem that this company has been unfortunately managed into the ground, and it will not have, and these products will not have a long lifespan unless another entity comes in to bring the level of investment that's going to be needed in order to support it long term and to continue growing the availability of this vehicle.
Yeah, I think you make a good point, is that running a startup is certainly extremely dependent on the, you know, not only the business model and the product and the proof of product, but also the team behind it and the leadership and the approaches and the strategy, of course. And you mentioned Magna, which is, you know, just in case people don't know, you know, like Fisker partnered with Magna, a reputable company that has made a ton of great vehicles, parts of vehicles. So from that point of view, it's like, oh, like Magna, great. That's a great thing to start with, right? And then the end product, as you're saying, I mean, it's got some things here and there, but really not that glitchy. You like it a lot. So I feel like it might be, is it frustrating from your point of view to be like, this is a great product? There's a community of us who like this product, who like driving it around and believe in its potential, but we're seeing a little bit of faltering where, you know, does it make you nervous at all as an owner? Like, what are you going to do if something happens to the company and you need servicing? Do you think about that? Or are you still compartmentalizing into the present?
Yeah, that's a great question. The best way that I can put it is to say that I, like many of the owners out there, the early adopters, as you rightly called us at the beginning, we're, I think, in a phase of going through the five stages of grief, right? we're working our way through everything from depression to, I hesitate to say denial, right? Because at this point, it's hard to be in denial unless you just stuck your head, you know, in the sand. Mm-hmm. There's anger. There is some level of bargaining as well, right? I found myself bargaining with myself in terms of, what do I do, right? Do I sell the vehicle? Do I keep it? If I decide to move on from it, what are my options, right? Because in this class of vehicle, as we sit here today, you've got the Tesla Model Y, you've got the Genesis GV60, I guess the Ioniq 5. That's about it, right? You've got BMW iX, which is a little bit bigger and a different price point. So there aren't that many other options to consider. The other thing that is of note as it relates to what I just said, we've owned this vehicle for 5.5 months, right? Since October 26th. We don't have title. You cannot sell a vehicle or trade in a vehicle without the title, right? Mm-hmm. So when I talk about mismanagement, right, and poor execution that's run this company aground, simple things like that, where you can't get a customer their tags and title 5+ months later, right? Huh. And there's been tons of reporting out there that part of the challenges with the company is they haven't been able to publish their 10K, in part because they were unable to pass the audit, right? You put your books together, and then you have to have an independent third party audit that before you can release it to the government. And they were unable to do that in Q3 last year. They were unable to do it for Q4 as well as the full 2023 year. So my situation, and there's a lot of us out there that have gone many, many months without getting tags and title, is just another example of how poorly the execution has been in terms of the company, separate from the product.
Mm-hmm. That is, yeah, some very clearly questionable things that are going on in your experience, because I can see why the Fisker would be a compelling vehicle, and you've described it.
Yeah, so we have the Fisker Ocean One. This is the limited edition, one of the first 5,000 to roll off the line is the Fisker Ocean One. The Fisker Extreme essentially has the same specs in terms of, you know, 560 plus horsepower with boost, 360 EPA validated miles of range.
What are 113 kilowatt hour battery? Is that what it is?
Correct. 113, I believe 106 is usable, right? So big honking battery, 360 miles of range, tons
decent of decent charging.
Sorry. Yes. Yes. We've got 32 amp level 2 charging, on a DC fast charger. I've seen it get as high as 180 and change, but it's supposed to be able to ramp up to 200 plus kilowatts. So good charging. The fundamentals, the specifications on the vehicle are very, very competitive. The other thing that we should note, beyond the trim levels, you've got One, you've got Extreme, you've got the Ultra, and you've got the Sport. Now, prior to today, the Sport started at $38,900, so just under $40,000. But 2 days ago, Fisker announced that they are significantly lowering the price on those vehicles.
Yes.
So the Extreme, which started at about 61, somewhere between 61 and 62, is now available in the 40s, right? And
yes,
the Ocean Sport is available in the 20s and so on. So it becomes a question of, and these are the 2023 model year, right? Because they built 10,300 of them last year, but only delivered 4,900. So not all of that inventory is here in the U.S. because they are homologated in 8 European countries as well as the U.S. and Canada. So the question becomes, this vehicle is now a total steal of a deal.
Totally.
But just because you can do it,
the question is, should you?
Right? Mm-hmm. Because what's going to happen in terms of long-term support and service, right? We don't have an answer to that question.
I think that's, yeah, something that I've seen is people were, I mean, sometimes as a joke, but sometimes, you know, some people were like, really, should I do it? I mean, why not? You know, I'd have an EV. But I think, like, what do you think? I mean, not that necessarily we are going to give advice, but people are considering, all right, this is way more feasible of a price offering at this MSRP, but there's a lot of doubts there still.
And valid doubts, right?
Valid, very valid.
Very valid doubts. It really depends on who you are as a person and your intentions for the vehicle. One of the things that is, I don't know, collateral damage is the term that comes to mind. I don't know if it's appropriate. It feels that way as an owner. But part of the collateral damage of what I just mentioned in terms of the price cuts means that those of us who were early adopters, our resale value has further taken a hit. But I think realistically speaking, given the status of the company, the risk of insolvency and bankruptcy being right around the corner, we were already drastically impacted by resale values anyway, right? So I don't know that this really does that much more to further depreciate the value of these vehicles. Mm-hmm. But if they're able to move some of that inventory, generate enough cash flow to continue operating for a little while, it could easily be a situation where you're delaying the inevitable slightly. But it could also, assuming that the steps that they take, let's say Chapter 11, creates an opportunity for an investor or a partner to come in, buy them out, invest. I don't think anybody's going to invest at this point. So we're looking at some type of takeover or buyout, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. That's sort of the upside of taking that risk, because the vehicle itself is terrific. Many of us have said that, and this has also come from employees of the company, service techs and so on, who've said, this vehicle probably should have been delivered with version 2.0, right? Mm. But that software wasn't ready. And it is here. It is being pushed out imminently to the fleet. I think at this point, there are probably more people who have it than don't, right? So that's the upside. You'd be getting a vehicle that has a lot of good fundamentals, as MKBHD mentioned in his review. The question is, will you be able to have support and service long-term, either from whatever Fisker looks like down the road or a third party that comes in and assumes responsibility for these assets?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's definitely key. And that's a question, I mean, this is a bit different because you have a like a service center near you, but like for the VinFast, I don't know where it would go if it needed service right now, but that has been a question. But that's different than also, well, the company does not exist as it did when I first took ownership of this car. And then how significant is that? Obviously, very, very significant. And you've had your experience with other EVs. You know, you told us about your lineup last time, you know, plenty of Teslas, but how does your experience with the Fisker Ocean One so far compare to your experiences with the other EVs?
So this is the problem child. My experience across Tesla, Rivian over the course of the last year, and now Fisker, but there's no question, this has been the toughest experience. It was the first time that I questioned whether or not I wanted to move forward with the purchase. It's the first time that I would say, if I had to do this again, knowing what I know right now, would I do it again? Right? The answer is no, right? I would not do it again. As much as I love the vehicle and enjoy driving it and using it, if I had to do it again, I wouldn't do it. And I wouldn't necessarily recommend that anyone go out and do it, given where the prices are today, unless you're a certain breed of person. Like, I know Dave Connor has said that, yeah, that I'll take a flyer on a Fisker Ocean at these prices. Mm-hmm. Right. There are certain people who have the wherewithal to be able to take it on. Most people won't. Right. And so for those people, I would definitely point them in a different direction unless or until we have some understanding of what the long-term options may be for service, support, software updates, and so on with the Fisker Ocean.
Sure. Yeah, I can see why you wouldn't want to repeat this process. Even though, but you're like, you're an EV enthusiast. Again, we understand the compelling offering and why you would want to invest in the startup, bring it into your life, like take a chance on it. And it makes me wonder kind of about, well, have you heard anything directly from the company with these recent headlines?
So yes and no, mostly no, right? Fisker hasn't said anything, and that's why there's so much fear, uncertainty, and doubt out there, right? Mm-hmm. That's why so many owners are going through those five stages of grief, right? Because there is just a lot of negative press, and rightly so, because there's a very, very high likelihood that we're headed towards bankruptcy. And what does that mean in terms of the long-term prospects for getting what we paid for? Remember, when those of us that purchased this vehicle, we've paid for things that are not available in the vehicle today, right? Mm-hmm. There's no adaptive cruise control, right? There's no torque vectoring, right? Mm-hmm. I can go down a list of things that we've paid for that have not been delivered. They've been promised via software update. And if the company's solvency is in question, how likely are we to receive those updates? At this point, and it goes back to the bargaining phase of grief, right? Part of the bargaining is, can I please at least get 2.0? Right.
Yeah. And
I've only got part one of 2.0. I'm highly confident that by this time next week, I should have the complete 2.0 stack in the vehicle. And I'm excited about that. I'm looking forward to using the vehicle with that version of software. But those are the concerns that current owners and any new owners that take advantage of those pricing discounts are going to have. Vehicles, and you well know this, are connected, right? And at some point, the connectivity is going to go away unless somebody else is paying that bill, right? If Fisker isn't. So those are things that we're concerned about. You mentioned VinFast. I think VinFast is a great compare because I've been watching the podcast, and I saw the owners that you had on down there in North Carolina who had a totally different experience than what the reviewers had said, right?
Totally.
And this is exactly the same. I think folks that go out and buy the Ocean, they're going to have a good experience. The question is, when something breaks, depending on what it is, are you going to be able to get that addressed, right?
Mm-hmm.
VinFast has very, very deep pockets, right? And the exact opposite is true of Fisker. And so there needs to be some form of third-party intervention in order for this to for this journey to really continue with any level of support, service, software updates, and so on.
Mm-hmm. I think you've brought up so many good points, from the residual value and how that impacts customers with, you know, the fire sale and everything, servicing, things that you've paid for that you hope to see, but you haven't, and you're not the only one, company leadership, the risk of being an early adopter, third-party intervention potential. There's a lot to consider here. There's a lot going on, and as kind of as an owner, you can just sit and wait. You can try to make some decisions, but like you said, you don't have the title, so they're contingent on a few things. But at this point, knowing what you know, feeling how you feel, what are your plans going forward as a Fisker Ocean One owner, Brian?
I'm going to enjoy my car for as long as I can.
There you go.
I don't know how to say it any more plainly than that.
Yeah.
I enjoy driving this car. I'm in the totally blessed position of, when I get up in the morning, I get the first world problem of determining, am I going to drive the Fisker Ocean? Am I going to drive the Rivian R1T, or am I going to drive my Model S? Right. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you right now, the Rivian is kind of off the table because I can't get my wife out of it. But I almost always go towards the Fisker Ocean because I enjoy using this vehicle. And I think anybody who goes out there and buys, takes advantage of what's out there now from a pricing standpoint, will probably have, by and large, a similar experience. But what are the long-term plans, and what's ultimately going to happen down the road is the unknown. So we'll have to wait to see how that works itself out. We're coming to the end of Q1 here, so I would imagine that this is going to resolve itself one way or the other at some point here over the course of the next month or so, worst case.
Yes, I think we'll be seeing something soon, of course. And I really appreciate you sharing your experience, because it's a real world early adopter, specifically, of course, from Fisker, with the Fisker Ocean One, but experience from someone who's an EV enthusiast, believes in, you know, the amazing technology in these EVs, you know, has something to do with the electrification of our transportation. And hearing about your experience, you know, I'm sorry that it can be stressful and unknown, but I do appreciate, you know, you're going to enjoy it while you can. And I hope we don't see the total failure of this automaker, honestly, because I don't think it's the worst offering out there, but there's obviously some many things that they need to work on.
Yeah, that's the thing. Even if an investor comes in, I don't, and I'm not alone. There's 100%. I'm not the only one that feels this way, right? There's a crisis of trust at this point with Fisker leadership, the board, and so on, such that even if they got a cash infusion, can they execute, right? So I think most of us are hopeful that with a third party, there's also some experience that comes in that can improve the execution from a business standpoint.
So, and that is a big ask from what I've seen. There really are, you know, some people who come in and can do that kind of thing and some people who can't. So hopefully, yeah, if that happens, they can address it as needed. And I want to just, you did say, remind you to come back to the assets, how, you know, the vision of the company is to be asset light. I know that you did touch on that a little bit and that attracted you to Fisker, but I wanted to make sure you hit all the points there because you did ask me to remind you.
Yeah. So there's three things I want to touch on. There's the assets. I do want to acknowledge the great people that I've had the pleasure of interacting with, the employees at Fisker, right? What I'm dealing with as an owner is on some level a first world problem, right? We've got employees, hundreds of them, who took a chance, right, to grow their careers, to join a startup, be part of building something, and they're in a tough position, and they're working very hard every day on behalf of people like myself and other owners. I know this because I've talked to them, right? I've gotten messages from them. So that's the first thing. I don't want to get lost in the mix of this, right? The second thing as it relates to assets, it's just what I said. Asset light, I think, gave Fisker a great opportunity if they could have executed, right, to take a different approach with a little bit less capital intensive approach by leveraging an organization like Magna. But it would appear that, again, they squandered that opportunity. And so now we don't know how much of this vehicle, beyond its design, is Fisker IP versus Magna, right? As an owner, I'm hopeful that that pendulum is more on the side of Magna, because we know Magna is going to be around. We think we know that the software is Magna's software, right? And so as an owner, I'm hopeful that we'll be able to at least get access to that software stack. But this is where being asset light, I think, puts Fisker in a tough position, because you just don't know what those assets are. So those were two key points I wanted to make. The last thing I would say, and this is thanks to you and Kyle and the entire Out of Spec team and others, after we had our discussion in late December, I think it was, right, the last time I was on, that's when we filmed it. I think it aired in January. I decided to add my voice to the conversation around EVs. So I did start a YouTube channel to do three things: share experiences, connect with other EV enthusiasts, and to continue learning, right? Continue learning myself, help others learn. And so I want to thank you and Kyle and the entire Out of Spec team, Dave especially, right? Because I kind of saw a contemporary in Dave as somebody who's out there adding their voice to the conversation. That's how I look at it, right? That was something that I started in January, and I'll be looking forward to doing more of that.
Great. Yeah, congratulations. I will certainly link you in the show notes so people can check you out. I think it is great to be able to share your experience for whoever it's helpful to, even just archiving your, you know, your life in a way. I think that's it's significant. And yeah, I appreciate you coming onto the podcast. I did look, it was early January of this year, and it's only March, and things have changed a good bit for you. So I would say to, you know, you and other Fisker folks, hang in there and good luck. And I'd love to know what our audience thinks about your experience, and if they are feeling anything similar, if they are interested in the fire sale despite the clear risks. I would love them to let us know, and to, you know, go check out Brian, ask any questions here in the comments. What does this make you, you know, you feel? I think the EV space is obviously a hard industry to be in. Fisker got to the point of production, which is really impressive. So to see things really start to fall apart after making it over that hump, is obviously disappointing, but we're just going to have to see what happens. It's out of my hands. It's out of yours. But at least you have in your hands your Fisker Ocean One right now that you can continue to enjoy. So thank you so much, Brian, for coming on to the podcast. And I'm glad that you plugged your channel, because I'd like to check out your stuff and see what you've been doing over there.
Yeah, it's Brian G. The EVOG is the name of the channel, EVOG. And like I said, just want to share experiences, connect with others, and learn. So
yeah, that's what we're all doing. And thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I appreciate it. And of course, for your time and energy today. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Francie. Continued success to you and the team.
Thank you. And to you. Thank you, everyone, for tuning into the Out of Spec podcast today for this deep dive into what it's like to own a Fisker Ocean One, or at all be linked to the company. Okay, Brian, good luck. Everyone, have a great rest of your day. We'll see you next time on the next episode. Bye-bye.
California mode.
Oh, good. I got to see that in person. Wow.
Actually, that was not California mode. I think I hit the wrong button. I hope I did. Because the windows didn't go down, only the roof. But the car went to sleep. There. Everything else is opening now.
There we go. Yes, yep. We get a show. Oh, awesome.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.